Bless you, sir.
Hey, y'all doing good? Woo, them lights are bright. Can hardly see you. That way I don't have to worry about your faces when I'm letting it rip. No, I'm glad to be here. I'm having fun already. I got some things on my heart tonight. So I think he's passed me the baton four times this week. So weekend, so that's good. The daytimes would be like really like a training session. They're supposed to be. I don't know if I fulfill that all the time. But this is open service, but I have a message for us all as a whole just to keep us in the race, okay? It's just stirring in my heart. I don't have it pre-thought. I catch it when I'm here. You don't have to understand that. But what I did catch was, I'm sitting beside John Mark. This young lady was up here. I think she was 13. I don't know where you're at. You're out there somewhere. You're right in front. And it was so beautiful because she said, you know, I felt like this lady had gotten away from God. And it just caught me. I'm like, she's getting discernment, probably doesn't even realize it. Just impressions, just thinking. But it's the Lord speaking to her heart because she's in position to hear. Like if you'll make contact, he'll be there. Like if you're waiting to hear before you make contact, you're probably late. Like you probably won't hear. You just make contact. God will show up just sincerely. So here's what got me. Tom said, and how old are you? And she said, 13. He said, did you ever do anything like this before? She said, no. Just as cute as could be. No. And Tom said, so, but you were right. She went, yeah. See, there's no boasting in men. She didn't go to 9 months of How to Hear God school. Not knocking schools, but she didn't. She just did Matthew 10, Luke 10, go, ye therefore. Just go. Just go. Just go. She just went. And she looked at a lady and thought something. And it happened to be the Lord. And then when she shared it, it got her crying, convicted, and who knows, that's going to help bring her right back to where her convictions have been telling her she should be. I just think it's beautiful. What an example. The other testimonies were all amazing. I'm just highlighting 13 years old, said, I've never done anything like this before. And probably just sounded like she was thinking to herself, right? Just thoughts. And she just had impressions. That's how simple it is if you'll put yourself in position. So that leads me to probably what I'm going to talk about. So I'm going to get a sharp sword out, cut y'all up real good. By the time we're done, I'll have y'all pieced back together. Nobody will be in pain. It'll be good. All right? Are you all right? Because listen, this is serious. And I'm being lighthearted because I when I get this silly inside, it's going to be really strong. So this is the anesthesia coming. It's the anesthesia coming. So see, you're not going to be in that position if you're just looking to God to get something from him. If you got issues, if you're self-conscious, self-centered, self-focused, if it's just about you getting blessed, you getting your needs met, you just getting protection, if your Christian view gets tricked into being a self-centered focus and what God can do for you instead of what God can do through you. See, here's what I've learned. If your focus is on what God can do through you, all the things you've always been concerned about will just fall into place. You won't be praying about them. There's just grace there. When you focus on them, it actually brings you out of bounds. Like you're not saved for you. You're saved for his great name. You're saved for his glory. And you're actually saved for the highest sake of others. See, you're supposed to go let your light so shine. So without getting into works and legalism and hey, and you know, getting into mechanics of that, what's that mean? Because you're not going to shine if you're not truly lit up. Like, I know Tom was honoring me, and he said this man's character backs up what he says, and he's not preaching outside. Well, don't ever preach outside of what you are or what you're living. That's not good. Yeah? So to go let your light shines because of what you see on the inside. Yeah? Your light doesn't shine because you say, okay, I got to act happy today. Okay, I got to be nice today. I got to be polite today. It's not something you're trying to accomplish. It's something you become in the truth. Your light shines in the truth. Are you with me? If you're like, yeah, if you're like just trying to be nice today, it might not last long. Somebody might cross a line you didn't even realize you had. Now he ain't nice anymore, but at least I set out trying to be. See, the cross paid a price for something, and it's not just so we can believe things about God, it's so we can become something. So I just want to talk about some things, and I know I think it'll end well. I do. I think it'll end well. I'm nervous. For a long, long, long time, we as the church at large, not you guys, not talking to a pastor here, I haven't even met any leaders. Let's talk about this house, the church. For a long time, we've been self-focused. We've listened to messages that benefit us and serve us and maybe never even challenged to change us or transform us. And our focus is on what we can get from God instead of what we become because of him. Jesus didn't do all he did on the cross just to make sure you get a bigger paycheck every once in a while, or just to protect the people you love, or just to bless you in a daily way. He just does those things because it's him. It's in his nature. But the price that he paid was actually to get the lie out of you so he could get the truth in you. To get the old off of you so he could get the new on you. And I don't believe, I'm 60 years old. I've been in church growing up. Who said wow? I didn't say I was Ancient of Days. I just said I was 60. Somebody said wow. Oh, I know. I don't look anywhere near 60. So I appreciate your stunned reaction. I heard a wow. Somebody said wow. I grew up in church till I was about 18 or 20. Then I didn't go for a long time. And then at 33, I got saved. And I've been connected and in church ever since. I've noticed that people don't understand they're doing this. We think it's right, but it has a self-centered twist. People go to God out of their need for God in their physical, natural life, instead of the desire to fulfill what he created them for and to become what he paid for. So a lot of people get tricked into going to God for what he can do for them. So their marriage is struggling. They say, boy, I didn't read my Bible for a while. I probably ought to start reading my Bible. But it's hoping that your marriage changes. There's actually self-centered stuff there. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, if that's the only motive for going to God, if your marriage doesn't change, where does that leave you in the next year? Now you get stereotyped through that. Now you become a product of what didn't work. Somehow God is, now you have a view of him. He didn't intervene. He let it happen. I've just never seen people get discernment like this young lady and even have a heart to notice the people around them like this young lady that don't have any higher view than what God can do for them to get their day better. It just shuts that all down because it's a self-centered place. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to convey something that I'm concerned in my 60 years of being on the earth. I'm concerned that the majority gospel I've heard has a self-centered twist behind it. And it's all about God blessing me, protecting me, providing for me, taking care of me, giving me my breakthrough. And you can prove it because there's a lot of discouraged people that say they're Christians. There's a lot of discouraged people that go to church. You can't be discouraged if you're seeking first the kingdom. If your eyes are on him and on others, if you love not your own life unto death, if you denied yourself and you picked up your cross and you're following Jesus, then you're not discouraged. It doesn't mean everything's going the way you hope, the way you've prayed, the way you've visioned. But where's discouragement have permission in selfless living? Are you with me? So the city quake vision of just walking and look, it gets muddy in people. Some people never see past themselves. They go to church, they serve, they're not evil, they're not hypocrites, they just don't have the understanding. They've never been taught. They've just come into a gospel to serve and love and sing to a God that does things for them, helps them through their life. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. A lot of the things we need, we actually, they're wants. James says there's times your prayers don't get answered because all you do is pray amiss your own desires. It's not really a kingdom thing. Who's ever prayed and it didn't happen? And then you see people question God and they get on this spiritual tangent and it throws them for a loop, and then they're non-productive and there's no light shining. See, that's what I'm saying. If this mentality doesn't get right, Jesus said, let your light so shine. He said, you are the lights of the world now. Well, he said light, but there's many of us. So you're the light of the world. Okay, so if we're the light of the world, and we're to let our light so shine before men so they see the life we're living and give glory to God, that's what the scripture is saying, well, then the whole goal of him putting his life in us is so we shine in the midst of life. So anything that keeps you from shining has to be a lie. Because he paid for you to shine. And nobody lights a lamp and puts a basket over it. Come on, this is scriptural. So I get saved when I'm 33 and I have a church background, but the church background is a very limited gospel. It's just, I've sinned. He died on a cross because I'm a sinner. I got to pray this prayer, believing he'll forgive me. And when he comes back again, when that trumpet blows on that day, whatever day that is, I'll be ready and my name will be in that book and I'll get to go to heaven. That's all I ever heard growing up. So it's all about me getting to go to heaven. It had nothing to do with a new identity, putting off the old, putting on the new. It had nothing to do with not being conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. It had nothing to do with walking in the light as he's in the light. And the things he does, I'll do if I believe. It was just a self-serving gospel that took me to heaven when I die and made sure I didn't go to hell. And that's the gospel that I hear all the time. You can come to God for a lot of reasons. At least the reason brought you to God, but it's very important that we're preaching a truth that once you do come, you're not just coming so you don't lose your house. You're not just coming so you don't lose your marriage. You're not just coming because you got laid off and a car wreck and your son ran wild all in the same week. That's not what we come to God to lay down everything we've been so that everything he is, he can come alive in us. And we can begin to live in the truth. That's what a Christian is. You're not coming to God just for a blessing. You're coming to God to become what he created and intended you to be. And if you'll really be sincere about that and really listen this week and at these messages and really just understand that, man, we just have this heart to stir us in what he paid for and what we're already created to be. It's natural for a Christian to walk in the light. Like you've been loved. You've been forgiven. So you love and you forgive. You've been shown mercy. So you're merciful. See, but a self-centered person doesn't get that. They want forgiven, but they won't forgive. See, that's a person that's in it for themselves. They're in it for what they can get from God. And then they see God so separate and distinct, like, well, that's God. This is me. But he calls us sons and daughters. He does say, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And greater things, because I go to the Father. He said that in the Bible. He's the firstborn among many brethren. 1 John 2, any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. Sounds like the Bible's making us one. It doesn't make us God. It just makes us children of God. Yeah? I mean, even in the natural, there's no child out there that doesn't have their daddy in them. Are you hearing me? So let's not get weird and falsely humble and talk around the truth. He's in us. His nature, his love, his Holy Spirit. If he told us to put off the old and put on the new, it's possible. If he said, follow me, it's possible. If he said, deny yourself, it's possible. If he said, walk in love just as Jesus loved and gave himself a sweet, fragrant offering to God, Ephesians 5:1, it's possible. Yeah? So let's make sure this is why we're coming to God. Is it wrong to believe for a promotion? Is it wrong to believe for a pay raise? No. But you don't let the outcome of that prayer dictate how you shine. You don't let life, you don't let circumstances, you don't let anything you're going through have anything to do with who you are and how you're doing. You found the truth about you in Christ. And you've denied yourself, you've picked up your cross, and you're following Jesus. You're loving not your own life unto death, so the power of the blood and the word of your testimony is in full practice, because it has a landing strip called selflessness. See, selfishness is a wretch. And there's a lot of messages that actually feed the self-centeredness of the fall of man that's still seeming to abide in Christians. That's why there's contention in the church. That's why people are angry at each other. Leaders and pastors. Is there any leaders or pastors at all in here? Anybody that does any level of counseling? Correct me if I'm wrong, but a high 90% of our counseling is people having trouble with people, people struggling with people. Am I telling the truth or am I making that up? Okay, so why are we people having trouble with people if we're walking in love? If we're selfless and surrendered, why have we got all these issues? Here's what I've learned. I'm not the brightest man. I know my hair color would tell you I'm very wise, but 60. Wow. So watch this. If you got issues, you're not shining. If you're frustrated, you're not shining. If you're unforgiveness, you're not shining. Didn't say you don't go to church, don't go on a mission trip, don't give in an offering. It didn't say you don't come to a conference. But if you got issues, you're not shining. And those things become the motivation of your life, and they dictate what you express. And it's not Jesus. And there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and that's the problem. It seems right. So if you don't attack this stuff with truth. Really? And get reborn, born again. For some reason, I feel like I'm going to use that phrase that you'll get this. Like we got born. Yeah, it's not a prayer at the altar. It's a new life that we live. It's a new motive. It's a new way of living. It's a new reason for being. It's not a day you remember that you knelt and cried and everything was right and you saw your need for the Savior. It's born again. It's new life through Jesus Christ. I ain't living the way I was living before. I got a different motive. I might not be perfected yet. I'm walking it out. I'm growing up into Him in all things. But the reason I'm alive has changed. So I'm not alive for me anymore. I'm alive for His great name. I'm alive for others. I've denied myself. I'm picking up my cross. I keep repeating some of these scriptures on purpose. I can hear it's redundant on purpose. It's why we're a Christian. We're going to manifest Him. We're going to pick up our cross and follow Him. He didn't say, sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. A pastor for a little. I've seen too many of us reveal by the way we act in situations that we don't totally understand why He put His Son on that cross. We don't totally get it. It's like an indictment against us. We don't totally understand our place in Christ Jesus. And if you're not careful, you get lulled to sleep and you get tricked into just a blessing mentality. Just God doing something good for you. Just God paving the way every day. Just God keeping it calm. You know, you look at little children when they pray. It's so funny. Like, you don't even teach them. It's just kind of in that self-centered nature. I'm not making fun of kids. Kids are precious. But you'll hear them say it. My own kids did it when they were little. I just pray for a good day. And I pray that mommy does good. And that daddy's day at work goes good. And I just pray that everything's good. God, thanks for doing good. Who knows? Who ever heard children pray like that? I wonder if they got the message from us. Come on, this is where I said the sword's going to get a little sharp, but I've seen too many people let how it's going decide who they are and how they're doing. And life becomes their story instead of the giver of life. And all of a sudden their disposition and expression is dictated by circumstance. Instead of truth. So this city quake thing, it's just so easy to get caught up in you and do church and never realize that you didn't become her. You can go to church, you're called to be her, not attend her. So we can get good at doing church. We can do good church and never maybe be her. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you got to deny yourself. He didn't say pray a prayer to go to heaven. Now, I know we say Jesus is the way to heaven, and just bear with me and don't throw the heresy flag too quick. Because we've been brainwashed by a self-centered gospel. That's not the true gospel. And I think there's a lot of people that don't realize they don't have emotional and anxiety issues like they think they do. Sometimes it's wrong motives. It's wrong believing. Like when you understand the truth and you know the truth itself makes you free. And discouragement and despair and some of these things that have plagued our lives, it's because there's self-centeredness at the root of our motives. Watch this. It says in Colossians 3 that you yourself are to put off anger. How do I put off anger? By giving up my permission to be angry because of the motive that allowed me to be angry. If I love not my own life unto death and I'm alive to shine and I'm alive for you and you don't owe me anything, why are you ticking me off? You say, well, you're telling me people wouldn't get under your skin? Wonder if you get new skin. Well, you can't tell me damn people don't get on your nerves. Wonder if you get new nerves. Wonder if all things become new. Wonder if you're actually talking from the old man that has learned the lie and you've been taught the lie, but you haven't been taught the lie by Jesus. Do you see Jesus discouraged, frustrated? People say, yeah, he was angry. He rolled them money tables over. He wasn't angry at people. He was zealous for his father's house, and he was making a real expressive statement, but he died on the cross for every one of those people. He continued to walk in truth. He didn't cut nobody off. He didn't give nobody the silent treatment. He didn't shut down. He didn't let where they weren't decide who he was, what they didn't see become his vision. He's the light of the world. So people try to pull that. They say, oh, he was angry at when he rolled their money tables over. Well, not at people at the cost of their identity, not changing his mind about them. When he's on the cross, he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're blind. They're deceived. They don't even know who they're created to be. They can't even see who I am. They're so lost. Would you forgive them? They're so lost. That sure beats what a bunch of idiots. They had plenty of time to figure this out. If they didn't get it by now, they ain't going to get it. I'm done. That's what we know. Attitude and anger and frustration and holding people and accountability with anger. Accountability is good, but not where it usually comes from. Well, somebody needs to hold them accountable. Not you, friend. Back off. Are you following me? Come on, none of the things we grew up being, Jesus ever taught us. When you go to his life, you don't see any of that in him. And then we're not going to preach that when we preach the gospel. He's making all things new. We got to deny ourselves, put off the old, put on the new, step out of darkness into the light. It sounds clear to me that I grew up in a lie with a wrong motive and a twisted mentality. And now he told me to never again be conformed to the world. It's ideas, it's ideologies, it's philosophies. Never go in that wisdom. But be transformed by a brand new mind. Better take this thing serious. Or all of a sudden we just have facts and we have our story and, well, you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know how that made me feel. Well, they should know better. They've been saved longer than me. I went there once, but I ain't going back, blah, blah, blah. And you're hurt by things. You're not here to be hurt by things. You're not here to weigh and judge and measure everything. You're here to know Jesus and make him known. And if somebody's mistreating you, it just means they don't see the truth. So they wouldn't be living like that if they were filled with God. So it don't matter if they say they're filled with God. You don't have to prove they're not. Make sure you prove you are. Yeah, come on. I've watched us let people, and where they're not, decide where we are. I've watched people have the power to change us. That's all that counseling we're doing. People, well, I wouldn't be feeling this way if they did. Okay, but just because they did, why are you feeling this way? Because it really hurt, okay? It only hurt you because you're still needy. You're still looking for identity. You're still putting job descriptions on people, and you still got all kinds of expectations. Come on, is God just like, we were brought up thinking he's this way, but now that you know him a little bit, is God like hurt? Is God like offended? Is God like, I don't ever want to talk to you again. I don't ever want to see you again. It's good I don't slumber, or you'd have kept me up night after night after night. The worry you put me through. Come on, it's supposed to sound weird. Because it ain't him, but we've all been that way, and we know that language. Well, he didn't teach us that language. Where'd we get it? See, this is the only way I want to preach the gospel. I don't want to leave us the same and just incorporate a theology into my language. Okay, yeah, I prayed the prayer. Okay, great. And if all you did was pray a prayer so that when the trumpet blows, you're in the book and you don't go to hell and you go to heaven, your life will go through hell. You won't manifest Jesus. Listen carefully. If you're a Christian for you, you are not having a great time being a Christian. You are self-focused. You are self-centered. You are most of the time discouraged. You're afraid, and you're wondering a lot of times where God is and if he's really good. Come on, I'm just bringing it straight. I could tell it was going to be like this when I got up here. I warned you gently. Come on, your heart can hear what I'm saying. But see, I cry this stuff out like a madman when they give me a mic, because I was 33 and nobody talked to me like this. Nobody. When I was their age, it would have been wonderful if somebody would have put this in my heart and at least give me a chance to consider it. Like, nobody was talking like this. They just said, you're a sinner. Jesus died on the cross because you're a sinner. And he died on the cross so God can forgive you of your sin, and you'll go to heaven when you die. You better pray the prayer. Well, I could pray that prayer even if I didn't believe the man. I just pray it in case he's right. What's that have to do with life change, transformation? What's that have to do with purpose? Here's what I learned by the Holy Ghost through Scripture. Thank you, dear. That the Lord never changed his mind about who he created me to be and who he saw me to be before the foundation world. And you too, this fits for you, but I took this personal. That on my darkest day, he didn't lose sight of me. And he said, I know that boy. I know what he'll look like if I'm in him, if he's yielded, if he's surrendered, and the price is worth paying for. The price for that is worth paying. I will pay the blood of my son to put my life back inside that man. His goal isn't to take me to heaven. His goal is to get heaven back into me, to get his life back in me. What, we always say Jesus is the way to heaven. And I know theologically we can make that argument and prove it. But Jesus never said he's the way to heaven. He said he's the way back to the Father. He never said eternal life was a destiny. He said eternal life was a relationship, knowing him, the true God. Jesus said eternal life is knowing God. Now, nobody preached that to me growing up. They said eternal life was heaven when I die. They didn't say it was right standing with God while I live. They didn't say it was being one with the eternal one and his life on the inside of me. Now I'm empowered to walk in the light. Now I'm empowered to love and show mercy and make peace. Now I'm empowered to be a Christian, a little Christ-like one. Oh, I'm preaching good right now. This is what Scripture's talking about. Please guard your hearts in this house. If we're going after this city quake vision, wouldn't you believe this would quake a city? If people don't get discouraged, disheartened, turn tail and run? If they never let go of love, look, watch this, watch this, watch this indictment that's against us, not to condemn us, to go, whoa, love, it suffers long, it's kind, doesn't boast in iniquity and stuff, it, It rejoices in truth. But watch what it does. It doesn't seek its own. And therefore, takes no account. How much account? No account of the wrong that's done to it. Well, if that's what love is, why are we so busted up with each other? Why we got all these memories and why we got the story down pat? Why'd we tell it 25 times to justify our own lives when our own lives aren't looking like Jesus? I don't need a reason to not look like him when I have a reason to look like him. But you don't know what I've been through. See, you're focused. Did you hear it? You don't know what I've been through. It's a trick. What about what Jesus has been through? Are we even considering what he went through? Are we finding our identity through what he went through? Or are we trying to find ourselves through what we went through? Or do I find myself in him? Is he the truth about me? What else does it mean to put on Christ? Are you guys with me? Am I saying this to correct you? I'm saying this to protect you. Because your life will never be an alpha if you're self-focused. Self-centeredness is the biggest lie, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. What I honestly think is right. Self-centeredness, I'm really convicted by this. Self-centeredness is the biggest problem on the planet. It's not politics. It's not racial conflict. It's self-centeredness. It's every day. People are waking up living for themselves when they're made for God's image. Every day. Worse yet, Christians. Christians for their own sake instead of his namesake. So self-centeredness is the biggest problem on the planet. If it wasn't the biggest problem on the planet, Jesus wouldn't have it first on the list. If you're going to follow me, there's something I need you to do. Deny yourself. Don't even come to me for yourself. Don't even make this about you. Don't make this about what I can do for you and how I can fix the thing you broke and heal this and mend this and move their heart back to you. Don't just come to me for me. Come for my great name so I can put who I am in you so you can begin to live what you're here for. I'm telling you, self-centeredness is the biggest wretched lie on the planet. Every anger, every unforgiveness, every frustration, and every sin committed by man has flowed out of the platform or wellspring of self-centeredness. You take self-centeredness out of a person, and none of those things have a place to survive. If I wake up every morning and my heart is fixed on this truth and I build this in the Holy Ghost, I wake up every morning to shine. Wake up every morning to live in the Spirit and walk in love. And I know in my heart, I know that I know that I know that nobody owes me a thing, even my wife and family. Why? Because I'm not finding my identity through my wife and family. See, that's why we're so tore up by loved ones. Because I love you really means I need you. And they're failing your broken identity or your unfulfilled identity. They're not meeting that need. We have expectations on people and call it love. Love never fails. Love takes no account of the wrong done to it. We shouldn't have these kind of issues within our homes. The average Christian would say this is true. The average minded Christian would say this is true. Just nutshelling us, let me just say it this way. I'm not condemning a group. I'm saying the majority response. The people closest to you are the ones that can hurt you the most. People wouldn't even blink. They would just say yes. My question is, why are you so vulnerable? Why do they have that kind of power when you're called to love? So why is their weakness greater than his love in your life? Because you need them to be something else towards you. Come on. See, this message, for some reason, sometimes doesn't seem popular, but it's life-changing. Because if you don't sell out and buy into this truth, you're always going to be under the power of someone else's performance. And you'll say Jesus is Lord, but someone else is governing your life and deciding who you are and how you're going to be. And I cut that a long time ago. And here I am 27 years later. I'm either out of my mind or just out of your mind, but I'm out of something. Are you following me? Because I don't wake up for people to love me. I'm fulfilled in His love. I'm accepted in the Beloved. There's no such thing as rejection in my life. You couldn't possibly reject me because I didn't wake up for you to accept me. Like, I'm not finding my identity through the crowd. Are you with me? It's so freeing. So if it's not about me, now I'm finally free to actually love you and get the best look at you I've ever had. So now I can see clear. You get it? Or somebody in my family struggling. It's not about frustration and anger, and how can they do that? When are they going to get a grip? Or why are they doing this to me? If they don't change soon, I don't know what I'm going to do. Pray for me, brother. We need a breakthrough. I can't take much more. You ought to be glad God doesn't think like that. See, and He made us for His image. And He said, as He is, so are we in this world. I found all these scriptures. That's in 1 John 4. It's there. It's there. It's how you know love's perfected. Love's perfected in this, that you have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness. Why would you have boldness? Because as He is. Not as He's going to be, as He is. And right before that, the whole two paragraphs before that, He is love, He is love, He is love. As He is, so are you right now in this life. And when He comes, two are going to be one. And He's going to say, oop, I see myself in you. And you're going to have boldness because you walked in love. He ain't going to be like, who are you? Remember, my name's Dan. I went to church a lot. Oops. If we're called to let our light so shine and walk in the light, He's in the light, then anything that hinders the light has to be a lie. I don't care. When I say I don't care, that's not meaning insensitive. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many facts you have wrapped around why you're not shining. If you're created to shine and you're not, it has to be deception. Are you with me? Why am I camping on this? Because this whole weekend of CityQuake sessions, literally in my understanding, would rest on how you walk out this message. Or shining is something you step into at times. Or you have an opportunity that falls on your lap and you feel like $1 million and you're like, well, that was amazing. But then you get caught back in the same old mentalities, ride the same testimony 6 months, and 6 months later, something else falls on your lap. And 2 years later, you're like, oh man, God's been using me. And you have these two times where it fell on your lap. But in between, you kind of lived in that same push and shove, pull and tug place that you've always known. Anybody that's walking what we're talking, CityQuake, can tell you that you start realizing real quick you were born for this. You were made to walk in love. You were created to live by the Spirit. Like, there's nothing more beautiful than getting discernment about a person, speaking it to them without them telling you and seeing the emotion just come up on their face. And all of a sudden you just know God's right there. And see, she's never been trained at. She never did anything like this, but yet she's 13, innocent and open. And God says, man, that's all I need. Innocence and open. See, there's no boasting in men. There's no superstars. Nobody has anything unless it's been given. Like you wouldn't see if He wasn't letting you see. You wouldn't hear if He wasn't letting you hear. So why, when somebody hears, we look at the person that hears and goes, whoa, instead of the person that let them hear and go, whoa. In other words, you let men hear. Wow, you give discernment. You're all about words of knowledge. You're all about changing lives. Man, have your way. Just thank you. Yeah? But I promise you, if you get caught up in this stuff we're talking about, you're not going to hear, you're not going to see. In fact, you won't even look. It'll just be about you, and you'll be on a prayer chain, and you'll be texting your friends. I hope you're praying for me today. It's going to be really challenging, and I hope I can make it through. You don't even know who I got to work beside today. I'm not sure what I did to God to deserve this. And that's your theology. Yep, yep. And then when you crawl in bed, you like your pillow is your savior, and it's the first time you mention God all day. Oh, God. Oh, God. And then you can't get up in the morning, and you call that depression instead of wrong believing because you can't face what you could hardly get through. Man, that's good. It's just true. I'm not being insensitive. I'm just being real. See, you go to bed in the truth, you're waking up, you're red. Like when you wake up, you're like, you're alive. Like you go to bed in thankfulness instead of, oh God, and hug your pillow three different ways. It's like you're celebrating the fact that you survived. Come on, you know why you're all laughing loud? Because everybody knows what I'm talking about. They're the perils. We don't think of it this intense, but they're the perils of self-centered thinking. Because it's just all about you, how you feel, your day, your course of events. It's just the story of you. And it's never ending, and it's continually writing pages and chapters until you die to all that. And understand there's a different reason you woke up. You don't wake up to survive. You wake up to shine. You don't wake up to make it. You already did. You're already in him. He's already in you. Your sins are forgiven. Yay. Your face should be unveiled. Wow. Good morning, Lord. Appreciate you loving me. Watch. Thanks for making me clean. Holy Spirit, I so welcome you and thank you that you live in me. Man, anything you want to say through me, anything you want to show me, anything you want to do, have your way because two've become one. And I'm so glad to be alive in you. Yeah? Come on. I'm just giving you some simple, practical examples of right thinking instead of, oh boy, 6 o'clock. Can't believe I got to go to work already. Wish I didn't have to go to the bathroom twice last night. Hello, Lord. Sleep got broken twice. I've been praying for that all night thing. Just saying. And then you're thinking about that. Then you're calling two friends. Can you just pray for me? I mean, I got up twice last night. I don't know how I'm going to make it. If God doesn't move today, I mean, I'll never make it. God just needs grace. And it's just all about you and how you feel and how you had to pee twice, you know? It's just not good. Just saying. Don't get offended. We can talk like that on the platform. Just being real. It's just true. This stuff's real. So now you got the facts laid out to justify your demeanor. And now you get so reduced, like the highest grace you receive is that somebody seems to care about your story. I'm just saying. I think dying to yourself would be a whole lot easier. Get a gifted pastor, a gifted elder with a Samson anointing, have them hold you under the water baptismal till there's no bubbles for 40 seconds. Trust that when they bring you up, there'll be new life. If there's not, you know where you're going. I mean, take a step of faith. You die to live. And if you don't die, you never truly live. What did Jesus say? He said stuff like this, guys. He like said, if you find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Jesus said stuff like that. It's like powerful. And then we preach a gospel that almost empowers us to find our life and incorporate him into whatever we think we find. Instead of him becoming our life. So I know this is my first night. Some of you have heard me before and knew who I was when I got here. I could tell when you gave your little ha, woos, and wahs to Tom. But watch this. Can I talk really plain? Can I like really get straight? Like, you got to get to the place where you in your heart before God says, and trust that God will empower you to walk this out. I'm done with discouragement. I'm done with self. I'm done with anger. I'm done with unforgiveness. Who am I to live in these things of the flesh when God paid for me to live my life in the spirit? I'm done with nitpicking. I'm done with fault finding. I'm done with judgment. I'm done with he said, she said, and tit for tat. And I wouldn't feel, well, if they didn't, well, I would have never, well, don't be talking to me. I'm done with that. You follow what I'm saying? Because you got this one little life. And it's a gift, not a dread. It's a gift, not a curse. You know, some people believe their life's a curse because they're weighing their value by how things are unfolding. So when everything's coming against you, why not manifest Christ? When people do you wrong, why are we so trained to just live done wrong? When somebody does you wrong, why are we just trained to put on the jacket done wrong? And we walk around done wrong. So we wear the clothes that people make for us. You got a robe of righteousness waiting for you. Take off that thing. You don't look good in done wrong. When you're wearing done wrong, you know what you look like? Done wrong. See, I'm so deep. See, but if it wasn't deep, I wouldn't get it, so I can't bring it deep. This is the best I can do. Cheer me on. This is the best I can do. Look, look. You know what I'm talking about. You get done wrong. You got the details. You tell your 2-3 friends. They say, they did what? I can't believe they did that. They should know, but that must have hurt you. I mean, I'm okay. Praise the Lord. I'll be okay. And then next thing you know, they're like, oh, Lord, would you just come and comfort? Would you just come? And we think it's a move of the Spirit. It's a solidifying of self-centered and deception. It's not love. It's not sensitive. It's very insensitive. Because if you're my friend and you come like that, I'm going to say, okay, I heard what you said they just did. Why are you so tore up? Are you crying for them or you? Because it looks like you're crying for you. You should be crying for them, because if they did that, something's going on over here. Like if they knew who they were and they were filled with Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have done that. But if you were filled with Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be acting like this. So why are you letting this thing breed like leaven? And why aren't you overcoming evil with good? Why'd you become a product of their deficit? Now you're looking all empty. Come on, that's just good, solid preaching right there. See, because if I'm your friend, that's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to run to me and tell me what they did and be all tore up, and I'm going to ask you why you all tore up. And you're going to say, well, did you hear what they did? Well, I heard what you said they did, but why are you tore up? Why'd you take that so personal? Has your heart even considered hurting for them? Come on, don't you sit here and tell me that you didn't, because you tell me you're that needy. You need that. What? That's how I counsel. That's exactly how I counsel. People doing that, they come and tell me all about their spouse this, their spouse that. I'm like, man, you have had a great opportunity to look just like Jesus. How you been doing? Or are you just a reaction to your spouse? Are you just wearing a shirt? Reaction. See, them clothes don't fit you. And you don't look good in them. It's amazing how quick we put them on. He didn't pay for you to wear those things. He paid for you to wear the things he made. Loving kindness, tender mercies, forgiveness. Yeah? Peacemakers. You know, we got this phrase in the church, fire starters. People love it, but I'm afraid sometimes we start in the wrong fire. We don't want this fire to burn, then we're throwing dry wood on it. We're not overcoming evil. We're not toning down harsh words with kind words. We're getting hurt by the things that aren't right and justifying our pain. And then asking for prayer. Never be the answer. Truth's the only thing that'll make you free. What are we praying for? To feel better or see better? It's usually to feel better. But if I don't see better, I'm going to be hurt again. Are you with me? Why are we doing this on my opening night at CityQuake? Because if we don't start pursuing to live this way, then the CityQuake thing will even become a ministry. It'll be something we do instead of something we are. And then the gifts will identify us, and we'll weigh ourselves by ourselves, and we'll only be as spiritual as God's using us, and then there'll be competitions, and it gets yucky. But if you just know God loves you and you're not under any kind of pressure to produce anything because you just know you're already accepted and you just know that you're already clean and forgiven and washed and filled with Holy Ghost, then everything's clean. And now you're not saying anything to anybody because you have to, you should, you're under pressure, or you're in the sixth week of aftershock. That's an after CityQuake thing. No, it's just because of who Jesus is in you. And you're not seeing yourself, you're seeing him, and now you got a good look at others. So you get drawn, you feel drawn to the lady behind the counter. Did you hear her testimony? I just felt fixed, I just felt drawn, I just felt... That's what the Lord does. I could tell you so many testimonies. I was just doing my thing. I was just in the sense of, I was there to do what I went there for. When I say my thing, that's not a self-centered phrase. Like I ran to pick up a loaf of bread. I ran to buy something. My wife said, can you stop and get this? I'm just going to get that. And all of a sudden, stuff happens. Why? Because you don't have issues. You're not caught up. You see. You hear. And even though you just went to get the bread, there's living bread in you. And it's crazy how you'll be looking. Who's ever had this happen? You've been looking for which kind, and somebody will just tap you and start telling you how bad it is. Tell you how other body hurts. I just had a man walk up to me and say, man, my knees are killing me. It's like he didn't even, I'm like, Lord, this is funny. I didn't even know him. We didn't talk. He just walked up and said, man, my knees are killing me. I'm like, wow, I'm glad you told me. We got to do something about that, buddy. And I didn't even ask permission to pray. He going to tell me his knees are hurting him? I need no yes. Can I pray for you? No, I had his knees before he even knew what happened. I said, wow, I'm glad you told me. Bam, I was right on. Didn't even mention Jesus. Just pray. Jesus is okay with that. He's okay if I slip in there. Bam. But you'll find people do that. I've been in grocery lines, person will turn around and tell me their whole story. They just cry out. It's because I believe God inspires that because you're available, you're willing, you'll hear, you understand what's happening. You're not like, oh, why are they telling me this now? I got to get home. It's been a long day. I guess I'm supposed to pray for them, Lord. No, if you're doing all that, don't even bother. Just stay in your little self place till God delivers you, I guess. Because you're going to go through some religious weird motions. I'm just having fun with you. But you know what I'm telling you, this stuff happens, right? So this is why we're on the planet, guys. The CityQuake vision, I really believe. Obviously, you know, people say, well, we're on the planet to worship God. Well, what's better worship than living out your destiny, walking in purpose? Living out, what's the truest form of worship? Walking in the truth. Is it singing in unison? There's a power to corporate worship, and it's more than singing. You know what I mean. But what's the highest form of worship? To do your will, oh God. Yeah? Jesus said he's always with me. Because I always do what he says. He's always with me. And all I do is the will of him who sent me. And he'll never leave me. He's always with me. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. Sounds really good that he's always with you. Now, theologically, we know that. Well, he's always with us. But sometimes we live like he ain't nowhere near. So see, that's different. Are you all right? Okay. So we're going to do something tonight. I got a little time frame. It's good. They got that big old clock back there. But I got training sessions this week. Weekend. I got one in the morning. So we'll talk about a lot of this stuff. But it's on my mind. It's on my heart. So I'm just going to obey it. But pray for the sick. When you see the sick out there, pray for them. Just the worst they could probably do. Well, they could shoot you, I guess, if they want to. But probably the worst they'll do is say no and look like you bothered them or act irritated or roll their eyes and then belittle you. I mean, they could pull out a 9mm and shoot you, I guess. But you're not going to die. You're not going to die. So bring it on, right? It's just funny how we freak out even over death. We're supposed to understand this stuff. Like we were in the bondage to the fear of death, Hebrews 2, but he's the captain of our salvation, and he delivered us from the fear of the bondage of death, which we were held captive by our whole lifetime. Now watch this. People that are afraid of death and in fear of death, and they get a bad thing or death's facing them, and they're facing death, and they're freaking out because of the dying, it's a sentimental reaction, and it's an evidence that we don't see total truth. Now, I'm not saying, hey, great, I'm going to die. I'm not ready to die. I got family. I got grandkids I didn't even meet yet. You know what I mean? I'm not ready to die. But if I was faced with death, that's not the motivation for my prayer. That's not the motivation for my prayer. Faith works through love. The motivation for my prayer is I'm willing to run this race, and I believe I got more race in front of me. My motive is to do the will of God, not to live. Are you guys with me? Because even this death thing, like we get threatened with our lives and we love. The only way we overcome the enemy who accuses us day and night before our God anyway, the only way we overcome him is through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love not our own life unto death. It's a three-part deal. We always quote the first two and leave the third one out. The third one's the one that makes the first two so powerful. We always say the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Yeah, and the drums bang. Okay, what about love not your own life unto death? That's a powerful tool. Loving not your own life unto death. That's a pretty powerful tool right there. Isn't it? That's how we overcome the one that accuses us day and night before our God. What's he accusing? Poking, prodding, pulling out the control panel of your life, watching words, playing weaknesses, making sure he proves that you're not surrendered, you're not truly committed, and you really don't know why he's inside of you, meaning the Lord. Satan doesn't believe you love God. He just believes you need God. He proves it in the Word when he talks to God in the book of Job. He says, man, come on, man. Job, different. He's the only reason Job blesses you because you blessed him. You made him fat in the land. You hedged him in and you protected him. He ain't no different than any of these folks sitting here. You take away that blessing and all you gave him in this land, you take that away, he'll curse you to your face just like they all would. He said that to God. You better make sure he ain't right where you're concerned. Because honestly, he's right in a lot of cases. Who knows, Job lost all those things. And God said, have you considered Job that he hasn't cursed me? And he said, skin for skin. Man will give anything to save his own life. That's the devil talking. He's sure he got you figured out. He's been watching man since Adam and Eve. And he's arrogant. He's sure every man's the same. He says, man will give anything to save himself. What's the gospel require? Deny yourself. What's Satan convinced? Save yourself. What's he convinced? You're only a Christian for you. You're only a Christian for what you can get from God. You ain't a Christian for surrender. You ain't a Christian to take hard knocks. You ain't a Christian to turn the other cheek and give the cloak and tunic. You ain't a Christian to go no extra mile. You're a Christian for blessing, favor, protection, and heaven. That's what Satan's saying in the Bible. You ever see people get mad at God? You ever see people turn on their faith? You ever see people lose a loved one and they never pray again? They never understood covenant in the first place. God was their genie in a bottle. He didn't answer their wishes. Back in the bottle. Cork it and throw it in the sea. He's a father. And it's covenant. And it's all that is yours because all that is yours is his. It's two becoming one. It's not God do for me. It's here I am, Lord. Are you with me? Come on, man. And then when things go wrong and people do you wrong, you'll never misunderstand it. You'll see it for what it is. And that forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, will burn in your heart. You'll be done being discouraged. You'll be done being offended. Things won't bother you anymore like they used to because you see different. And if the eye is the lamp of the body and the eye is single, looking through the way, not a way, then the whole body's flooded with. That's a good thing because let your light so. Ooh, that's a good wrap up right there. Came around like we knew what we were doing. Ain't that something? Your eye's the lamp of the body. If your eye's single, your whole body's flooded with. And you are the light of the world. So watch. So if you're not looking at life through this truth, you won't shine. It'll just be about you, how you feel, what happened, what didn't happen, how you were hoping for, and now it didn't. You don't even know if you can pray anymore because every time you pray and get your hope up, then blah, 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 and all this language. And your friends that understand your pain are probably closer to you in that season, and that's why you think they're friends, and that's your support system, people that understand your pain. I don't want you to understand my pain. I want you to talk me out of it. I want you to sit me down and say, okay, listen, I hear the facts and I'm sorry it happened like that, but man, you're letting this rock you too much. Come on, what Christ did is way bigger than what you just been through. Can you picture Jesus coming? Be real with me. He never did anything close to wrong. He was purer than pure, more perfect than we know what perfect could be. Like he was flawless. His motive was genuine and true continually. There wasn't one slant to what he did. And yet they disrespected him, judged him wrongly, and ultimately killed him. Biggest injustice, the wrongest crucifixion, murder, whatever you want to call it, the wrongest by far that could ever happen. And he didn't change. He's hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You got to honor that when you see that. Come on. Like, it's not like, are you kidding me? Barabbas. I mean, how much am I supposed to take? That's a low blow. Barabbas. He kills a man. I raise the dead. He's causing conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace. And they want to release him and crucify me. And I healed their sick. I cleansed their lepers. I've multiplied their food. In fact, the only reason they tracked me down is so I feed them again. They don't even care what I'm saying. I'll tell you, I'm done with these people. God, I don't even know why we love them in the first place. If they didn't change by now, they ain't going to change. You know why Jesus never thought like that or never said that? It's not because he's Jesus. It's not because he's God's son. It's not because he's deity. That's what we always say. I'll get in trouble for saying that. They'll post that everywhere. It's because he's love. God is love. Because if your answer is just because he's deity, then you could never walk in that love. And that's the biggest religious lie on the planet. And that's why unlearned people and unended quick-speaking people will take little phrases that you say and call them heresy because it's actually demonic because it keeps you from believing you can become what he paid for. Yeah, it's true. Because you're like, well, it's because he's deity. No, no, no. It's because he's love and God is love. So you're not God, but you can love like God. Are you with me? But you can't love like God if you're thinking for yourself. But if you seek ye first the and his righteousness, the way he sees you and judges you through the blood, then all these things necessary to walk out his will be added unto you. So you'll be lacking no good thing, and he's your shepherd, and you shall not want. And it sounds like godliness with contentment is just great gain. See, I found all those scriptures in my Bible. Isn't that amazing? It's worth reading. It's a lot of good stuff in there. Better than reading it, believing it. Yeah? This is my closing comment, and then we're going to do something. Your life that you live is going to reveal what you understand about the Word and if you believe the Word. It's the life you live that marks your faith in God through his Word. It's not your church attendance. It's not coming to a city quake. It's not the language you speak. It's the life you live. You know them by their fruits. They're going to be judged for their works. Every man judged for his works, whether good or bad. That means his life lived. The way you live your life reveals what you understand and believe. And when you really understand and believe that your life was created for the purpose that I'm preaching tonight, it faith puts a surrender in you. It puts you in this place of praying and seeking God and trusting Holy Spirit to bring things to remembrance and help hold you accountable and be a strong conviction in you with your own conscience. And now you're walking out and working out your own salvation with a reverence towards God. You're not taking account of suffered wrongs, and you're learning how to just deny yourself and wake up with a healthy motive. And all of a sudden, it's like life is amazing in God. And the greatest testimony you can share with people is when they find out and realize some of the things you've been challenged with, and yet they never saw a challenge in you. They might find out you lost someone significant in your life, but they never even really knew it because you didn't change. Not because you didn't miss them, not because you don't care, because you have a higher vision than the loss. So I just lost my brother in October. He just dropped over out of the blue. 14 months apart, he wasn't just my brother. He was probably my closest friend. But you can't tell I lost my brother. You couldn't tell I lost my brother in November, December. I'm not mad at God. I'm like, why didn't you protect him? Why didn't you heal him when we prayed? Why'd you take him? I'm thankful for the life that I have. It's God that gave me the life. It's God that gave me the brother. It's the blood of Jesus that's preserving him for all eternity. And I got some kind of beef because I'm missing him? No, I miss him a lot. I miss him more now than I did 3 months ago. But you can tell I'm way okay. Well, that's up for debate. Do you follow what I'm saying? I know people that lose significant people in their life and they never recover because their thinking's not clear. They're coveting life instead of coveting truth. Do you follow me? And they're living life for now instead of for that day. So all their prayers and efforts and energy is put on God making it better now instead of living for that day. Are you with me? The just shall live by the way you respond in these moments reveals what you understand and what you believe. In all you're getting, Proverbs 4, get understanding. These signs follow those that believe. Are you with me? If we go down in history as believers, we've run well. You don't need a prophet, apostle, conference, evangelism, you know, world, missionary, all this stuff that we go for and thinks the big arena. Listen, if heaven acknowledges you for the rest of time as a believer and God the Father, you stand before him and he says, you believe. Everything else will be in place. That's what you want. You want your life to reveal that you believe. Are you with me? So I'm going to pray that over you all, and then we're going to do something together. Is that okay? So Father, I pray that grace in this house right now. I pray that everyone's convicted and before you in this truth, that this truth would not escape us. And I'm asking you, precious Holy Spirit, would you bring these things to everyone's remembrance in every time of need and just help us and give us the opportunity to walk out this truth? If in any way we're on another road, turning, going around a bend, would you just line that thing up and let us see the way and pull us out of a way? Would you help us, Lord, to walk this out? I believe this room is willing, and I believe this is a room that desires to shine. And I'm asking, Lord God, that you would build the light in us in such a way that people could not help but to see the goodness of who you are. And we ask that to be revealed through our lives in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that relationships tonight would be seen different. I ask that marriages would become stronger just because of the message. That if their spouse is sitting here and they haven't been living full on this way, in their own heart, they would say, wow. There's time for change in my own heart. And I pray that just tonight's message would help them see their spouses differently. Lord, let us start on level ground. Let us start in this place that we heard tonight, begin to run this race worthy of a prize. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Awesome. So here's what we're going to do. It's 9:18. They asked me to try to be done around 9:40, so we'll be cutting it close. I want to pray for the sick. Is that okay? I mean, if we're going to pray for the sick on the streets, we might as well pray for each other now and just use it as a little tool, and I'll try to teach it out. And we use it just as a little object lesson that Jesus really likes and gets excited about. I know he does, because everywhere I travel, I do this, and it's just cool how he shows up and the cool stuff he does. He likes when people believe what he said. Yeah? So I found out that the number one reason, I always thought the number one reason people didn't pray for the sick is because they didn't believe the doctrine of healing, but it's really they don't pray for the sick because they're afraid nothing will happen. That's really boils down to the number one reason people don't pray for the sick. They're afraid nothing will happen. They don't want to be in the position of praying and then nothing happen and feel like they're in this tough spot, which again would be self-centered. Think about this. So we don't pray for the sick because we're afraid nothing will happen. So because we don't pray for the sick, we always have what we fear. Nothing. So we probably ought to get selfless and step out, because if these signs follow those that believe, they shall lay their hands on the sick, then a believer laid his hands on the sick. So if heaven remembers us as believers, there's going to be a piece of a reason, because we were laying hands on the sick. So if we make that the first part, stop getting hung up on the healing part, and just say, wait a minute, the first part of a believer is getting his hands on the sick. But because we skip a beat and go past the comma and look at the healing, then we pull our hand back. No, get your hand out there and get your hand on the sick, because you pray for the sick and the sick shall recover. Amen? Sign of a believer. It's Mark 16. There's no way around it. I don't even know how the body of Christ argues over this stuff, except that we've magnified our own human experiences above his word. And we've allowed our own experiences to trump and push away his grace that wants to change things. We say, well, God doesn't heal everybody because... And we use an example when we prayed and something didn't happen. But you can't find that example in Jesus' life. So instead of following him, we follow our experience. We change our theology, and now we're not following him. Are you following me? My brother fell over dead. My mama was sick for 40 years. And she died, I believe, young. I changed her diapers, and I helped with mom. And for the last 15 years of her life, she never even got out of a bed. But you can tell I'm not hurt. And I didn't change my thoughts about God. And I'm not building some doctrine based on my mom's experience or our experience. My mom passing, being sick for 40 years, hasn't changed Scripture. Scripture, when I open that book, it's calling me to believe. Come on. Sometimes we're frustrated. Sometimes we're religious. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're scared. We're all growing. We're in this place. And just because we follow the principles of something, we think we've done that thing. No, I want to grow up into him in all things. I want to have integrity. I want to grow and mature. I don't want to just let my feelings speak. And I don't want my brother to die and then me have some negative view towards God or have the power to change what a scripture must mean. No, I'm going to look at Jesus' life and I'm going to see his fruit, his examples, his outcome, and he said, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So I'm not going to give you access to my believer. See, everything wants a shot at your believer. What you believe is determined by things. And if your eyes ain't fixed on Jesus, you got beliefs in there that get tainted with facts of life and experiences and memories. And all of a sudden, you're letting life decide God's instead of the giver of life deciding life, right? So all of a sudden I'm finding God through life instead of finding life through God. It's backwards. Are you with me? So we're going to pray for the sick tonight. When you pray for the sick, there'll be things like somebody, you ever hear somebody talking, they'd be just sitting at a table and they say, boy, I'm so glad I don't have a migraine today. I thought for sure that thing would hit me. I thought it was going to come maybe yesterday. And then when I didn't have it today, I was so thankful because I'm about at that time that thing's been coming. You know, they're just talking, but they're thankful, or they just had one the day before, but they've just got through it. You hear stuff like that, but they don't have the migraine when they're talking. That's a place for prayer. They might not have a symptom. They might not have pain. But you just simply, you hear people talking like that. You just, excuse me, man, I couldn't help but hear what you said. And be simple and be discreet. You want to bless them. You're not there. You don't have to pray for an hour. And don't shake and manifest. Maybe say it just flips me out, man. I've been with Christians already. They're out there, whoo, power of God. And the person's looking at him like, like, I think you're in your own little circle over here, pal. How about just believing for them? I'm sorry. I just got to talk about some of this stuff. If you be all woo and they're laying on the floor and look like they're in a seizure, then I'm probably okay. But if they're looking at you like you're cuckoo and why you can't stop shaking while you're praying, you probably ought to stop shaking and just pray. I'm sorry. Somebody got to say it. You're there to bless them, not freak them out. Pray short and to the point. So when you hear them with the migraines, you say, listen, I couldn't help but hear what you were saying. You tap them. They're talking to somebody in front. You're four from the cash register. Look, I know we're getting up there close. This won't take long. That broke my heart. That must be terrible having the migraines. Oh, it's like I'm paralyzed. I knew you said that. I heard that. Listen, I just need to see your hand real quick. I'm like, what? No, it's cool. We're in stores. Let me see your hand. They don't know what they think. You're either going to read their palm or they just hand you their hand. And you very gently just take like two fingers and just take the side of their hand. Father, I just thank you for your amazing love for her, for him. Migraines, you leave. You never, ever, ever come back. Father, I thank you. Not one more migraine pain, not one more migraine symptom. No more migraines. In Jesus' name. It's that simple. You could pray quicker than that. Migraines never come. Pain, you never come. Father, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Boom. I tell people, do it in seconds. They're already being nice sometimes, letting you pray. They're not on board. They just see you seem serious. And they're going to take a risk that it doesn't get weird. I'm just telling you, that happens a lot. So don't confirm their fears. Are we okay? I mean, if God said, let there be light, if Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, we'll see, get up and walk, we could probably tone it down a little and be more faith-filled in what he accomplished and who he is and what he wants to do and stop making it about us and what we pray and how we sound. And okay, who's ever prayed for the sick sitting here? Who's ever prayed for the sick? Let me see you. Woo, that's majority, big time. Watch. Tell me if this is true. When you go to pray for the sick, you find yourself many times more conscious about what you're going to pray, how you're going to pray, what you're going to say, and trying to pray right and powerful and anointed so it works. And that's why it usually doesn't. Because it has nothing to do with your prayer. See, that makes it work. Now it's all about you. Now you ought to be the dean of a prayer college. Instead of just a spirit-filled, faith-filled believer. Come on, I'm being lighthearted, but I'm being real. Come on, who agrees that they get self-conscious and try to pray right? Think about how you're going to pray. Try to pray right. Sound spiritual. You might even tone your voice a little. Father, I just thank you. And you don't even talk that way, but when you're praying, you change it. Father, I just come before you. I come before your holy throne. You ain't said that for 3 years. Am I messing up? John, am I messing up? Look, they're hobbling. He said, what happened? Oh, man, I wrenched my knee. I don't know what's going on. I'm afraid I tore something in it. Listen, man. And I sometimes just come out straight. Listen, I say it like this a lot. I say, oh, my goodness, I want to pray for you. Please don't say no. I ask them to decide not say no before they say no. I say, look, it won't hurt a thing. Look, if nothing changes, you'll be the same you were. You didn't lose nothing. But if it changes, you're going to be a happy man. And I ain't praying for you because I think nothing's happening. Look, I'll say to people, I'll say, look, do you think I would ask to pray for you if I already knew nothing could happen? And they're looking at you like, okay. And you get down there. Fire! Ah! No. No. Stop. See? You like that. See, you all like that. No. Am I messing up? No. You just get down there. Father, I just thank you for your love for Brian. And I just thank you, God, for a complete knee. You be completely made whole. And then you stand up and you say, check it, test it, and you check it out. You say, well, wonder if it don't change. Okay, wonder if it don't change. Boy, I've seen that before. See, we tell a lot of testimonies, so people get the idea everybody you laid hands on just went, woo! No, my mama died. Lay hands on him, and he says, man, it still feels the same. You feel it out. Is he in a hurry? Where's he heading? Did you talk about that? You ask him. If you want to pray again, and he lets you. Sometimes I ask for that. Sometimes I just say, well, listen, man. I am so humbled that you let me pray for you. The Bible says if I lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. Something happened here when we prayed, man. It's just no way it didn't. So you check on your knee. You remember this. You get in your car. You get out of your car. You check your knee. And then now, what am I doing? I'm releasing my faith that God's doing something. I'm not kicking myself in the spiritual butt saying, why ain't I anointed? How come he ain't healed? Wonder what I did wrong. Maybe I need to change my prayer. Because then I'm letting results or lack of results dictate belief instead of the word. No, you stand in your ground. It ain't a cop out. It ain't a plan B. It's just, I believe you, God. So you just say, well, listen, man, I am so honored and humbled that you would let me pray. I realize you probably hadn't said, yeah, I got to get back to work. Well, that's cool. That's amazing you let me pray. Thanks. And just keep checking on your knee because I'm telling you, I just see it's changing, man. And when it changes, you get out, you go to work, or you get up from your desk and you go, what? You're going to know immediately what happened, man. It's God the Father, and he loves you through Jesus. And you're bold. You just take off, believe in God. You get your car. Thank you, Father, for that honor. Man, I appreciate what you're doing in Brian's life. You see what I'm saying? See, there's no failure in that. There's always faith. There's always faith. I think we've become so analytical that we think so much, we think ourselves into trouble. And I've just turned that part of my life, well, I've never really had that. But I see some people, they almost pride themselves in that. Well, I'm very analytical, okay? You should stop that like yesterday. Like God didn't give you a gift to overthink. He didn't give you a gift to make simple things complicated. He didn't give you a gift to think long enough to talk yourself out of him. It's not a gift. So two lots of different things, but two situations you'll find when you pray for the sick. People that will know they're healed because it's full of symptoms, and people like the migraine that they don't have one now, and it's just the same faith, same sincerity, same belief. God loves them, right? And you're believing it'll never come back. But the person that has their head rocking, don't just go to the one that don't got no pain, because you stay in faith. So you can't say, well, I'm afraid their pain won't leave. I'd be more concerned that you didn't step out and release faith. Well, I'm afraid nothing's going to happen. I'd be more afraid of doing nothing. Like if love never fails, why would we fail to love? So you just pray for them. So here, we're going to do it tonight. I got about 10 minutes, 9 minutes left. If you have a situation in your body tonight, please participate. Let's do this as a school and let's teach and train and it'll be fun. We're not going to play no music. You don't have music sometimes in a parking lot, right? No music in the hallway. You can't pull out Jeremiah and a little team in a box and pull them out. Boom. Open it. They're just right on point. That would be amazing. But we don't. We don't have that. A lot of times it's your nerves, your feelings, their expression. And sometimes it feels dry, even though there's life inside of you. When I say sometimes it feels dry, it does for people. You grow to a place where I don't think it ever feels dry because Jesus is Lord, etc. But I know what I'm trying to say. Like sometimes it looks like you look at them and you could tell they're just being nice or there's no faith at all. So you just believe it. You can't let that change what you see. And what I'm saying, it seems dry because there's no atmosphere. It's not everybody's on page. There's no synergism. Do you know what I mean? It's just you and you're the believer. You got to get your eyes off of all that and keep your eyes on Jesus and just do what you set out to do and pray for them. So if you have a sickness in your body tonight, we'll just do the first one. We're going to do it really quick, but it won't be ineffective. It's a beautiful thing what I'm seeing the Lord do in these sessions. You have a situation in your body. It's not symptomatic. You can't check it. It's internal. It's in your blood. It would need a test or time to tell, but there'd be nothing to really check right now because it's either not there or it's in your body or something without symptoms. I just need to see who you are. Stand to your feet real quick if that's you. Anybody that has a situation like that, that if you were healed, there'd be no way to know except for simple faith in your heart. Just stand to your feet if you can. And we're going to pray for you. Okay? Do I got anybody else? I feel like they're just waiting on one or two or so. Just jump up if that's you. Yeah? Yeah, good. See, I should have said three. No, that's good. So when I hesitate like that and I'm looking for more, why? We already got people to pray for because this is real. And I'm just saying God wants everybody to their feet. I'm telling you, what he does in these little sessions, if we'll just start believing him like children, and get the pressure off of us where we're not trying to pray right and powerful and just believe in one thing. So you guys that stood up, bless you for standing up. I appreciate your faith. Here's all I want you to do right now. Believe this one thing tonight and never not believe it the rest of your life. I'm not saying you didn't believe it before now, but I just want you to believe this when we pray, that God has to love you or he'd have never put Jesus on the cross. He has to love you or he'd have never crucified his son. Did you ever see people go through life and they question God's love? It's the biggest trap on the planet. How can you be rooted and grounded in love if it's up for question? See, we question God's love through circumstances when we should settle God's love through the cross. Faith works through. So if faith's not working through love, then I'm praying through need and I become a desperate person. And I don't have faith, I have need. Faith works through love. It's different. Are you with me? So that's all I'm giving you permission to do tonight. Believe this one thing. God has to love me or he'd never crucified Jesus. Yay. All right? People sitting near them, if you can, just tap them, grab a hand. Just don't smother them. Just make sure they know that you're going to believe for them. And all I want you to do is believe this one thing. Somebody, yeah, just stand with her. Now, all I want you to do is just, we didn't even ask them what's wrong. We don't have to right now. I'm just telling you, this is amazing. These situations, you're going to see they change. I'm telling you, I'm being bold with that. So all I want you to do right now as a believer, as a brother and a sister, just say, be completely made whole in Jesus' name. Just say that right now. Be completely made whole. No more symptoms, no more sickness, no more weakness. In Jesus' name, be completely whole. Thank you, Father, for your great love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Good. Okay. We did it simple, no music. We're not ramping things up. Rah, rah, rah. Simple heart faith. Simple. So the second group is who? People that would know if they were healed. They have symptoms. If they knew they were healed, or if they were healed, they would know it because there's things. I just watched last Saturday. I watched this. It was so sweet. It was a mama. She had three little kids. I actually had a word. She didn't stand up. I had a bunch of people, and I said, I'm missing two people. And I told, now don't you wait tonight. I'm not, don't you. Stand up. Because I don't know why people stay sitting, but she stayed sitting, but God didn't want her sitting. And when I described her situation, she began to cry and she got touched because I described it exactly. And I said, is that exactly your situation? I said, why didn't you stand? She said, well, she had her reason. It wasn't bad. It was just her reasoning, whatever she said. I don't have to get into that. But we watched Jesus completely make her whole. She couldn't lift her arm on the left side. She couldn't lift it probably any more than that. Without it really biting her. And till we were done, it was so funny. I said, just put it down, honey, and relax. Now just shoot it straight up like this for me. Just go. And she was like. And her husband was crying. It was just fun. It was just fun. So symptom stuff. Stuff that's wrong, that if it changed, you would know it without exaggeration. Because that's lying. I need you to stand to your feet. Any form of degeneration, sickness, arthritis, anything that's in your life right now that's less than wholeness, that if it would change, you would know it. Please stand to your feet. I need everybody to stand that qualifies. And don't think when you stand, you're claiming your sickness. I've found that that's a big misnomer in the body of Christ. People think, man, I don't want to stand up and claim it. You're not claiming it. You're saying there's something in my life that's outside the will of God and it needs to go. See, James 5 says, is any among you sick? I ain't confessing that. He says, is any among you sick? Let them ask. Having the elders of the church pray over them, praying the prayer of faith, anointing with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Yeah? So how Could you ever ask if you were claiming it? You're not claiming it. What you're saying is there's something outside of wholeness that I need to be removed that Jesus paid for. We got everybody? Giving you a chance. Don't make me go fishing. I'm not looking right now to call anybody special thing out. Just every once in a while, God encourages somebody that doesn't have the strength to stand for some reason, and I'll hear things, and it's really sweet. We got everybody? Good, good. Yay, good. That's awesome. You guys are amazing. Yeah, this is the first setting I've been in 5 months that I didn't have to wait and come up with three things that I was still hearing. You guys just stood up, and I feel real good, like we're ready to roll. So we got you. That's good. Ask and it shall be. Yeah, you don't sit there and get spooky. Say, well, if that man calls out my situation, I'll stand. Okay, that's called unbelief. You're waiting for a sign. You already have a sign, Jesus. Yeah? All right, so here's what we're going to do. Now, you guys didn't know this, but the people that are sitting, you're my prayer team. You're the best Jesus got in this room. Now watch, if you're a little nervous, you're at City Quake and you want to grow in this thing anyway. So if you're a little nervous, that's perfect. You're not going to get in the way. You're not going to be overconfident. And I definitely want you on my team. Like if you're like, oh no, yay, I want you on my team. Because you're not going to be overconfident. You're not going to get in the way at all. You're going to be like, Jesus, right? So here's what I need you to do. Don't pray for them yet. I need the people standing. Just raise one hand so we don't lose you in the crowd. And I need the people sitting one-on-one till we cover everybody. Just go find somebody and say, hey, I'm going to stand with you and pray in a minute. Don't pray yet. Just introduce yourself. Run, find somebody you don't even know. As soon as they've claimed you, put your hand down. When they claim you, put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if you're waiting for someone to come and get you. Come on, room. Everybody sit and go find somebody. We can do this quickly. Got a couple hands up front here. I got a lady over here towards the wall. She's waiting on someone. Can somebody get over there to her? I got a guy right here in the middle. He's got somebody. What? Yeah? Good. Put your hand down if we got you. Lady over here in the corner, she's still waiting. I need somebody over here. If somebody can split up if you're two on one. You got her? Awesome. Thank you so much. Anybody else that we didn't get yet? Do we have everybody? Okay, we got everybody covered? Okay, now here's what we're going to do. Take 3 seconds, just 3 seconds, and ask them why they stood. Give them the 3-second version. I'll explain in a second. Just tell them what you're praying for. Just give them a 3-second version. Got arthritis in most of my joints. My knees are degenerate. I got a herniated disc, whatever, just 3 seconds. Y'all got it? Everybody know? Good. Good, 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 good. All right, okay, look up here. We're going to do this together as a family. You guys are really doing this good. So here's the other thing. See, I'm not calling everybody up here praying. This is us getting involved. This is called the body of Christ. I promise you, Jesus likes this. He likes that you stood up in the first place to believe that he's a healer. And he likes that you all stood up to stand with him believing the same thing. It's just simple. We're going to see how simple this is tonight. So here's what we're going to do. The reason I had you gate 3 seconds and tell them what's going on is because Matthew 17 says, faith will say to the mountain what? And the mountain move. It's in the story of the boy that had epilepsy and was thrown around, and right? And the disciples said, why couldn't we heal the boy? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. But truly, I tell you this, if you have faith, as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, don't tell me he's not talking about healing. You will say to this mountain, what? And the mountain will what? And nothing will be impossible for you. Yeah. They said, why couldn't we heal the boy? Because of your unbelief. He talks about perverse and twisted thinking in the earlier part of the chapter. He said, you faithless and perverse generation, how long I'll be with you and bear with you, when he heard that the boy didn't get healed. He's not mad at him. He's saying there's a thinking going on in your mind that's corrupt, that's keeping you from seeing the fruit that you're created for. So when they said, why couldn't we heal the boy? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, oh, well, because there's still a lingering curse on the father. Well, because you should have waited for me, I was supposed to pray. That's complicated. No, Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. It's what you're failing to see and understand about this situation. The problem lies within your vision. It's unbelief. It's perverse thinking. But truly, I tell you this, if you see clear and think clear, you're going to get the same results you saw me get. That's really what he's saying. And he said, nothing, nothing shall be impossible for you. However, this kind what? The epilepsy? This kind of thinking won't come out of your life unless you continue in prayer and fasting and stay one with the Father. That's how simple he's teaching it. So here's what we're going to do. You know what you're praying for, right? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to pray. I even got a clock today, 30, 31, 32, 33. It's past 9:40, by the way, too. We're trying to hurry. But I got 5 seconds. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to pray. Why? That's for your sake, because your prayer never heals anybody anyway. It's not your prayer. It's your faith in what he accomplished on the cross. It's you understanding he loves people. So a 5-second prayer is plenty. If they told you they have arthritis in all their joints, arthritis, you leave in the authority of Jesus' name. No more pain. Thank you, Father. Who knows you can do that in 5 seconds and be sincere and be absolutely sincere and faith-filled and not self-conscious, trusting that God himself come and do what you just proclaimed. Are you seeing this? So we're going to take 5 seconds. After 5 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. And then you just bring it to a close. It's not a legalistic thing. It's not like if you don't stop immediately, Holy Spirit's leaving the room. This is just a teaching tool to teach us how to stay simple for the rest of our lives and see beautiful results when we believe. Okay? So you're going to have 5 seconds. You're going to pray. I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. Okay, you start wrapping up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love. Boom. So after they wrap it up, the people being prayed for, remember what you're believing? God has to love me or he'd have never crucified his son. Thanks for loving me. So as they're praying for you, you just be aware, you know what? You love me. You're doing something amazing right now in my body. Thank you. Soon as they pray and I say wrap it up, you start to check your body. Take your time. I don't want exaggeration. I don't want you looking at the person to pray for you thinking, oh, they're going to be so let down if I say I still hurt. You know, I feel great, honey. That's called lying. Don't do that. Revelations 19, if you lie, you fry. I'm just saying. So no lying tonight. You pray, 5 seconds, check your body, take your time, make sure you know. Some people just know. I took real long getting this rolling about 4 weeks ago, and I said, okay, so when you know you're healed, then I want you to go like this. And people started going like this while I was doing my little teaching. And I said, what are you doing? They said, I'm already healed. I said, what? I said, I'm taking too long. Holy Spirit can't wait on me. I said, he's way out ahead. I said, just pray for your people. 5 seconds. It was so fun. People were just listening and being healed. But they were actually doing that you love me thing. It was beautiful. So we're going to ask you to check your bodies. When you know you're healed, some people just know right away. It just boom. Sometimes you learn how to avoid pain. You got to recheck some things. But make sure you know. But when you know you're healed, I want you to go like this. Okay, so we'll probably take a couple testimonies. If you feel like you're somewhat healed and you're 50% better, 60, 70, tap your person and say, this is awesome. I'm 60% better for sure. And then I want you to pray the same prayer. Don't grab for straws. Don't shift your prayer. Don't get creative. Just tell the thing to go. Same prayer, same 5-second prayer, and check your body again. Okay, now watch. This is what we don't talk about enough. If you're standing there and nothing changed when you check your body, you shouldn't even be talking like that, Dan. There's 3 things I see when I pray for the sick, and they all require faith. I see people instantly healed, somewhat healed, and I see things not change in the moment. They're all the same to me in faith. Sometimes I'll pray a second time. The one that changed a little, they never tell you no. The one that didn't change at all, sometimes they're like, no, we're good. We're good, but thanks. I had a lady one day say, well, thanks for trying. Thanks for trying. So today, if nothing changed, here's what I don't want you to do, because this is what the church does. She tends to go, here we go again. I'm always the one that's not healed. How many times did I go through this? I shouldn't even stood up. I knew I didn't want to stand up anyway. 10 people are going to be healed here in no time, and I'm going to be not healed. What am I doing wrong? Something has to be blocking my healing. Why won't God heal me? None of that tonight. Never, ever. You have one response when you're being prayed for. Wow, Father, thank you for what you're doing in my life. I so appreciate your love. So if you didn't notice any change, I want you to listen to 1 or 2 or 3 testimonies. And when you listen to that testimony, check your body and be thankful and say, wow, you are a healer. And man, I appreciate what you're doing to me, God. And check whatever it is you need to check. And let's watch and see what happens in this room. Okay? Everywhere I go, Jesus has me do it this way and teach people how to not let go, how to continue to believe in the face of whatever they're facing. And usually in a room like this, it's like popcorn in a bag. You'll see some healing. We'll talk to a couple people. And all of a sudden, there's four more people. And now there's seven. And we're like, are you guys just like, yeah, it just changed. And it's just like, because we won't draw the conclusions or say, what am I doing wrong? Or something's got to be blocking my healing. But no, you love me and you're doing a work and thank you. Are you all with me? This is what we're going to do tonight. Y'all remember what you're praying for? Okay, I didn't talk too long. Look at them real quick, real warm-eyed, like they're loved and special. Just look at them real mushy. No, I'm just... Are you all ready? You ready to pray? You got 5 seconds. You ready? Go ahead. Give them the kingdom. Pray. I think I gave you 2 extra seconds getting my water. Start to wrap that up. Just believe in God loves you, or he wouldn't have sent his son. You can all stop praying now. Wrap that up. Now I need you guys to begin to check your bodies real good, real good. And make sure you know. Let me know when you know. Let me know when you know. Check them out. Anybody know they're healed? You know for sure? You do for sure? You know? You know? Okay. Back-to-back rows right there. Anybody else you know? You know for sure? Good. This gentleman, are you saying you know? Beautiful. Keep checking. Thanking God. Don't change your minds. If you change somewhat, tell your person. They'll pray for you for 5 more seconds. Anybody else you know? You were prayed for? Do you know you're healed? That's amazing. That's beautiful. Anybody else? All right, let's do this quick because I'm getting really late. I'm sorry. I saw Tom back there somewhere. The boss is, yeah, the boss is, he's, the boss got his eye on us. Let me see. Who knows you were healed? You know you were healed for sure? You do? Oh, look at you. Now she's crying. See, I love that. She's like, ooh. No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. When you're able to tell me and get yourself together and can talk, you let me know. Right behind her, sir. What happened with you? What was it? Was it always there? Easy to find? Like it was just there if you look for it. You can't find it at all. Completely gone. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Anybody else? Who knows you were healed? I need another testimony or two. Somebody, who knows you were healed? Yeah, back there? Shout it out, man. Hey, let's listen here quick. What's up? You couldn't bend it? You can move it now? Could you go up with it? Good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if your body didn't change, just check out a testimony or two and then check it again and just thank God he loves you. This young lady that was talking over here that was ready to cry, I mean, talk to me. You can talk to me now. What made you cry? What happened? You might be able to talk for her maybe. Can she tell you? Are you okay to talk? Can you shout it out? What happened? A whole year ago? It's just never been right. Okay. Did it all just change? Completely good. Can't find anything that was there for the whole year. Completely good. So good. So good. I like when they start waving their hand and then start crying. It's like, okay, I like this. Let me see this quick, because I do have to wrap up. But who here, you didn't raise your hand yet, because you're not 100%, but you're somewhat healed, and you're noticeably better. That's a bunch more. Look at that. Bunch more. Yeah? So your person can still pray for you if they want. I want to do one more thing quick. I want to wrap it up with this. Let me see the people, and don't feel funny about this. We're almost trained to think something's wrong. We prayed for you up till now. You've been checking. You listened to the three show testimonies, and it's still nothing seems to have changed. Your body seems the same. I just want your hands. That's it. Just your hands. You still seem the same. Keep it up so we can see it. Is your person still here? Because you're not getting another person. Your person is plenty. Yeah. Get your person. Do you see? That's your person. If their hands up, don't avoid them. Don't run. Don't. Okay? Now here's what we're going to do. I think Jesus is going to teach us through this. So I got like eight people. You got your people? You got your person? Okay. Just pray the same 5-second prayer you believed that first time. Don't change your prayer. Do it right now. Sincerely pray the same thing over them. Let's believe and see what God does in the room. Just do it right now. The same 5-second faith-filled prayer. Okay, that's good. That's 6-7 seconds. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Okay, that's good. Wrap it up. Wind it up. Now, you people that we just prayed for, nothing had changed. Start checking your bodies for me. It's like about 8 of you. Check your bodies. Is there anybody in that group that we just prayed for that began to change? You even changed somewhat or all the way? Let me see you. Don't make anything up. Check your bodies. Somewhat changed? Not all the way, but somewhat? About what, 50%? Oh. Okay, but yeah, no, that's beautiful. But something feels different. That's why you raised your hand. Something's good. We'll get a better report once you get to really check it, is what you're saying. Anybody else in my last group that changed somewhat? See, this lady, nothing changed until right then. So if we draw conclusions, we're going to miss what's possible. That's all we're trying to teach you. Anybody else in my last group? Anybody change at all? Anybody? Somewhat? You changed all the way? Nothing changed up until that last moment. It's completely gone. It was in your elbow? Okay. And nothing changed before that. Okay. Do you see what God's teaching us? Wonder if we draw conclusions based on results or facts instead of just keep our eyes fixed on Him. Okay? So a believer has one response concerning healing. Thank you. Thank you for who you are, and thank you for what you're doing. You get what I'm saying? So you could say, well, yeah, but the people that didn't change. No, we release faith. We lay our hands on the sick, and the sick shall what? Recover, and we're learning to never change our minds. Is there anybody else, that last group that changed, that's checking? I love that last group when it starts changing, because that group has took a hard hit a lot of times in the church circle because they think something's wrong with them. Why ain't I being healed? I must be doing something wrong. Is it my faith? Do I have something blocking? And then you go on this wild goose chase instead of just hold on to Him. Anybody else in that last group? I'm just asking one more time. Okay, now let's do this just for kicks to encourage everybody, and I'm definitely done. Everybody that was healed completely, or you know you changed significantly enough to notice, I want you to go like this all at the same time. All at the same time. Everybody that knows they were healed or somewhat healed, all at the same time. That's a lot. Out of that's 85% of the, that's 90% of the people that we pray for. So what we learn? Keep it simple. Your prayer doesn't heal anybody. It's your faith in what He accomplished. And everybody's in the game. We can all do this. Amen? So, Father, thank you for tonight. Let us all stay encouraged and continue to grow us up into you in all things. In Jesus' name. And please help Tom to forgive me for going so late. Amen. Bless you.